Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans. J.D. Nelson here from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. We appreciate you listening in. Apologize for last week. First segment was a little technical issue that we weren't aware of when we were recording. But now we're back and should sound good.
Yeah, just I'll keep my hands off the microphone and let Joe take care of it.
Golly, you boomer. You know, you boomers are always missing that.
You were looking at that age information.
I'm closer to a boomer than I thought. I always thought I was Gen X all the way, and I am Gen X. I'm about 5 years from being a boomer.
In the chart we were looking at, the next generation after Z is Generation Alpha. But the millennials will run the show for the next 15 or 18 years.
Yeah, a lot of them.
They dominate in every category. Housing purchases, mortgages, Home Depot purchases, car purchases. They're the generation in control. And we're going to hold them accountable for the way things end up.
That's right.
Now, they would say, I'll be with the family this week, JD, and I'll be surveying the millennials. And they will say, y'all left it in a mess.
Yeah, I know.
That's what they will say.
Well, fix it.
That could be true.
Don't complain about it. Fix it. That's what I say.
You got no choice. There's no choice.
I know.
Right?
Well, you know, the ocean's rising from all that ice melt.
And they are concerned about it.
You know, I thought we were going to be underwater already, but it hadn't worked out that way.
They have two big priorities. Adopting all the dogs and cats that are...
Hey, I've got homes. I've got two at home if anybody... Hey, Mama's not home this week. JD is Mr. Bachelor, enjoying my little staycation. And since our last week at the beach was such a fiasco, Jennifer decided she needed to go back. So she took Drew down. They went to the beach. And they're down there having a good time.
So the batching it, this is how it goes at your age, JD. You go out one night. And you feel bad, so you have to stay home and eat junk food and watch golf on television.
I've been watching golf and SEC Media Days this week.
Hey, what about the Open? That was a good Open, wasn't it?
Oh, boy, that was a great Open. I tell you, my boy Rory is just, he has finished top 10 in every single major this year.
And the whole world, except Australia, was pulling for him.
Yeah, they were, and you know, I'll Cameron Smith, for a guy who changed my oil on Tuesday, to be able to show up on Thursday over there and win that thing is quite impressive.
Hey, that play down the stretch was remarkable.
He made everything he looked at.
Made everything, and a lot of them tough 25 putts.
And the most impressive was on 17 when he had that. You know, he had to kind of putt it around the that one bunker that you don't want to be in.
He was going to.
I forgot. I think it's just called the road hole bunker. I think that's right. Anyway, and then. And then he knocks it to like 15 feet or whatever and then makes it. I mean, that's gutsy.
And that would have been his own bogey of the only bogey of the day.
Yeah. And then even on 18, he drove it up there by the green, but that angle that he had to hit it and knocked it up there to a foot
was perfect.
Very impressive for sure. So, congratulations to Cam Smith.
To the
Australians, and he ran off to the Live Tour immediately.
Did he announce?
I thought I saw that. Maybe he didn't announce it. Anyway. Congratulations to him. That was he played the back nine
impressive.
Very, very well for sure. So anyway, but a lot of things going on in the real estate world. You found some nice articles we'll touch on. Of course, we got some email questions as well. And I'll give everyone an interest rate update as we normally do. I'd like to recap some of the numbers real quick. Maybe when we come back from our first break, I've got some South Carolina numbers that I found as well from a holistic point of view, which kind of obviously sort of aggregates everything that we've talked about from some of the local markets. But we can touch on that as well. And of course, our email is always open. You can shoot us an email at askjd@countybankmortgage.com. That's askjd@countybankmortgage.com. Feel free to email us anytime, and we will get back to you with an answer just as quickly as possible. And of course, we will also address your question on the air. And Keith, a lot of things going on, of course. Kind of more of the same from what I've seen, just from a, you know, from a real estate point of view anyway.
Yeah, demand continues to be strong.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Across all price points.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, now it's not quite as strong as it was, but it's still a seller's market and will continue to be.
Yeah, absolutely. So, also, if you'd like to talk to any of our mortgage experts, you can always reach them at the office Monday to Friday. Usually around 8 to 6, you can find somebody in the office over there, and that's 331 Home. That's 331-4663 if you're ready to get pre-qualified or get ready to buy a home for sure. So we're going to head into our first break. You're listening to House Plans. J.D. Nelson from County Bank Mortgage, Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans. J.D. Nelson from County Bank Mortgage with Keith Clark from the Buyer's Broker talking real estate today. We appreciate everyone listening in. And Keith, I know we hit the numbers last week, but I wanted to just recap kind of what we saw. And I was able to obtain some of the South Carolina numbers in aggregate. And, of course, Greenville, as we had mentioned, down a little bit year over year. 4.5% from June of last year, still up 1.3% on the year. But of course, inventory still remains low, although it has increased, and median home price still continues to rise. Kind of what we're seeing in the Greenville market, for sure.
Well, I think the beauty or the big picture that you've got in front of you from the state shows a little bit different perspective. And I believe those numbers were down above about 40%. The number of transactions?
Yeah, 1 year change. Well, 1 year change in supply up 41%. That's the month supply.
Increase in inventory.
All right. Pending sale. That's not pending sales. 1 year change in closed sales down 13.5% statewide.
Yeah.
That's
so
big.
What you see is that some of the three big markets typically will do a little bit better, I think.
Yep.
And they'll be on the leading edge of the statistical data. So you would see the turn first in the big markets, but you wouldn't see the impact in the big markets that you would see in the smaller outlying.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, days on market down 13%, state of South Carolina down to 40 days, and median sales price year to date up 17.5%. So, still seeing a lot of median sales price increase there. And of course, days on market continues to go down.
Yeah, and that's a big number, 17% county or statewide increase in pricing.
Yep. So kind of some interesting numbers, too. They had the South Carolina Realtors International Survey results. And this was just a survey that they had taken. Of course, no surprise, major destinations for foreign buyers, Charleston 19%, Columbia 16%, Greenville 9%. No real surprise there. 45% of all foreign buyers, Keith, paid all cash.
They did. Now, those numbers are down, J.D. They're not as aggressive right now in terms of purchasing. International buyers are not as big a part of the market as they have been.
Yep. 60% of foreign buyers resided in the United States. Top countries of foreign buyers include Canada, Mexico, India, China, and Colombia. So kind of some interesting interesting countries there, at least in Colombia. I wouldn't have thought they were top five, but $730 million in foreign buyer purchases. That's kind of an interesting number. And then the all cash is that's kind of surprising, but I guess maybe not. Just most of the international people have a lot of cash.
Well,
sure.
They're trying to hide their money, right?
Yes, that's correct. Keith is right.
They're hiding it from political environments many times.
Yep. So anyway, especially with mortgage payments on the rise, obviously with rising interest rates and that kind of thing. So, I thought it was kind of interesting for sure. I will tell you, our application volume is way down and continues to drop, that we see. And of course, the summer months have always, remain busy. We still have a lot of people who are pre-qualified, who are out there looking and that kind of thing. But we are definitely seeing a little bit of a drop in application volume and that kind of thing, on a week by week basis for sure. So, we always like to recognize local people that get kind of recognized in the news and that sort of thing. And of course, you found a article, Dan Klosner. recognized chief executive officer for Verde Development. Of course, the Verde Development's been a big deal here in Greenville, for sure.
It is, JD, and the reason I included that is because the vision for Verde is quite large. I mean, that it involves a lot of property, a lot of developments, and so that looks like they're really moving into the next phase after they built out the core.
Yeah, sure.
And so all that property along Lawrence Road, as the Swamp Rabbit comes that way,
yep.
That the Hollingsworth Foundation owns all of that property and has a great vision, really all the way from Woodruff Road, all the way over to the Millennial Campus.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see as they move into phase two and phase three just how large it gets. And for me, the big question is, will they continue at the same pace as the economy pauses right now? Or, you know, we could be in a recession. This could be the second quarter.
Second straight quarter, Keith.
That's right. Of lower GDP is technically a recession.
Yep.
Now, the labor market continues to be very, very strong. And most people believe if we do go into a recession, that it probably won't be as severe as maybe previous ones.
Yeah, as this article states, there's no universal definition for an economic recession, but analysts and investors commonly define it as two consecutive quarters of negative GDP. The U.S. GDP contracted by 1.6% in the first quarter
That's
of 2022,
right.
And I guess they're currently projecting a 1.2% drop in the second quarter, and that number should be coming out, just about any time.
Very soon.
Yeah,
very
soon.
The preliminary number. Typically, they release a number, then they adjust it, but I've seen that as high as 2.6% contraction in GDP.
Yeah. Wow, I hope it's not that much, but
yeah.
But I would say, you know, just from a very basic point of view, I feel like we're in a recession right now, personally. That's just my personal, you know, that you're right. The employment numbers are very strong, but just I feel like we're in a recession right now. We're just not recognizing it.
Yeah, and when the Fed raises rates again, we'll have to see what happens to interest rate. You're going to talk about that in the next segment, but most people are expecting interest rates to continue to rise.
Yep. So a lot of, you know, we talked last week briefly, Keith, you know, there were a lot of contracts that fell out last month. 60,000, I think, was the number on a national basis. And, you know, a lot of that has to do with, you know, rising interest rates and sort of payment shock, for lack of a better word, that we're seeing out there. And, you know, the home builder confidence is also suffering.
That was the big story this week, JD, that the home builders, they survey the home builders about their confidence in the market. And there was a dramatic drop in the home builders, what they see as the future of the market.
Yeah, and you know, I don't think, or at least from my perspective, it doesn't seem like the builders sort of over. I don't think we're going to see a lot of excess inventory on the market from the builder perspective. They sort of kept the governor on the home building, the numbers that they were putting together.
They did, JD, and that was part of the shortage of inventory, is that they never regained the same level of confidence that they had in 6, 7, and 8, or 4, 5, and 6.
Sure.
They built a lot of homes, and then when many of them suffered greatly during the downturn in 08, 9, 10, and 11. Mm-hmm. And so during the next decade, they never built at the same level, with the same level of confidence in terms of putting spec houses on the market.
Yep. And I can remember 2 or maybe even 3 months ago at the most, I can remember some builders coming out and saying that they were going to start, this house is going to be done on April 1st, and we're going to start accepting offers. It was almost like a bidding war for some of those properties. And now that has totally flipped the other way. And I know that you even mentioned that you're starting to see incentives pop back up and that kind of thing.
I am, yes. Several builders over the last month or so have ramped up their emails to the agents to make sure that they're aware of the cooperative compensation, as well as the incentives to the client,
yeah,
which typically include maybe closing cost incentives, sometimes upgrade incentives. You might be able to purchase a screened-in porch or Florida room for half off,
yeah,
as
right.
an incentive to pull the trigger.
Yeah.
But the big problem is that many of the entry-level buyers just not going to qualify for the median price today. Median prices went up so much that the entry-level buyer qualifies at 3% interest rates, but not at 6% interest.
Yeah, right. And of course, you know, we talked about this last week. The median home price in Charleston, almost $400,000. Of course, in Greenville and the upstate, it's around $300,000. You know, and I still have a hard time believing those numbers myself. Just, you know, just being in the business for as long as I have, it's obviously the highest point it's ever been. So I can remember those being, I can remember the jumbo limit being 417, even lower than that.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting for sure. So now, Keith, this was kind of an interesting article that you sent me. And you know, from a mortgage perspective, we always sort of cringe when we hear the word solar.
Yeah,
that's right. But housing market's desire for solar energy heats up. And, you know, of course, you know, everyone is being squeezed from the gas pump to the grocery store. You know, inflation has taken root for sure. And everybody's wallet is being squeezed for every single dollar that they can get. And of course, you know, so I think a lot of people find solar panels and solar energy attractive. This was a survey done by Rocket Homes, and said that 2/3 of non-solar households are interested in solar. That's an incredible number to me, because I can tell you J.D. Nelson doesn't have any interest in it. So I guess I'm in the minority once again. 27.2% of homeowners say they have or are in the process of getting solar panels or solar shingles. And of those who don't have solar power in their homes, 2/3 are interested in getting it in the future.
Yeah,
that's incredible to me.
Well, you'll see.
I mean, I understand the savings. I totally understand that. But
it's about this chart. JD.
Well, you might be right. Keith hands me a chart, U.S. population by age. And of course, you know, the silent generation and baby boomers, Gen X, millennials, Gen Z, and of course, Gen Alpha. So, yeah, I guess you're right, Keith. You know,
Am I the
old guy? Am I that old guy that sits on his lawn and says, get off my lawn now? Have I turned into that guy?
You will be.
Yeah.
Well, not quite yet, but eventually that will happen. Of course, what we're talking about is early adoption of solar energy, green energy, by primarily the millennial generation, but the Gen Z behind them and Gen A, the alpha generation behind the Zs, they will all be very interested in green energy, regardless of what they're using, whether it's at home, mowing their lawn, in their homes, in their cars. They're looking for green energy.
Well, let me get a cold bucket of ice water to pour on this analogy here real quick. So I agree that all that sounds fantastic. But here's what I would also tell you, that most of the time when you do the solar panels or solar shingles, you know, that they have now that they put on your home, one thing that you have to keep in mind is typically those are not purchased. They are leased. And, you know, I don't know the exact cost, but I know it's over $20,000 most of the time to put that. So, you know, and they will lease that for, and those guys do a great job of selling them. They'll say, okay, you can lease it for $100 a month. We're going to cut your power bill in half, so you're going to save, you know, $50 a month or whatever the situation may be. But here's the problem. When you go to sell that home, okay, the solar panel company is going to put a lien on your house, just like another mortgage, for those panels. And until that $20,000 is paid off, you're not going to be able to sell your home, or you're going to have to convince the buyer who's coming in to accept that lease and do that. And that's probably going to limit the pool of people. If I was a buyer's agent, I mean, would it not scare you a little bit going into that situation?
It has, J.D. In the past, it's been. And another element of that, by the way, is that technology improves over time.
Right.
So the solar panels that you bought 10 years ago will be obsolete
right.
when you get ready to sell your
That's
home.
That's right, yeah.
And so you have to keep that in mind as well. But historically, it's been a red flag. But I will tell you that today it is not considered that.
Really?
Oh, yes. I recently did a transaction in Simpsonville where it had solar panels, and they were more than $20,000. Now, in this case, it was an older family, and they purchased the panels outright, so we didn't have to quantify.
So, see, that's a better deal, yeah, for sure. So, anyway, well, listen, we got to have a hard stop here, bottom of the hour break. You're listening to House Plans. When we come back, a lot of different topics to talk about right after this. Welcome back. Listen to House Plans. J.D. Nelson from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. Just a couple angry baby boomers and Gen Xers here on the radio today.
Taking
real estate.
It out.
Yes, that's correct. There's still a lot of us around. We're not letting go of the rope yet.
So. They're going to put a tax on that big SUV you drive.
It's old, Keith. It's a 2015. No,
the older it is, the higher the tax will be.
Does it make them feel any better that I drive my golf cart to work every now and again when it doesn't rain? If they could stop this rain, then I could drive my golf cart more often. These afternoon showers, I can't drive that thing home in the rain, Keith. But anyway, listen. All right, so let's wrap up the conversation when we got kind of cut off at the end there with a hard stop at the bottom of the hour break. We were talking about solar panels. And, you know, you talked about a deal where someone had actually purchased them, which is actually then you don't have to worry about a separate lien on the house and that kind of thing. One thing you have to consider, though, is it may become obsolete in the future. Some of the types
technology.
That you buy, technology improves. But they had no power bill, which, I mean, you know, that would be great.
That's right. And historically, J.D., we paid more than full price for this house. But we also, in my valuation of the property, we quantified the future value of the savings,
sure.
And that made us more comfortable. Now,
yep.
It was not leased, it was purchased.
Yeah.
And that's the big difference. So if you're thinking about purchasing or acquiring solar panels, read the fine print because it's 10 pages of why you cannot terminate the lease. If you purchase the panels, you pay an inflated price and some other caveats in the agreement that could box you in when you get ready to sell your home.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And of course, you know, one thing you do need, Keith, if you're going to purchase those solar panels is cash. And if you don't have cash, then you end up in the lease box. So, you know, not something that many people now that boomer, they got cash.
No, they do.
Okay, they got cash. But I'm not sure that Gen Z and millennial crowd
not
has
yet.
As much cash as they especially to spend on solar panels for sure. So, all right, well, listen, it's time for an interest rate update. I'll get you some numbers here. We have maintained fairly flat rates here over the last week, 30-year fix. Of course, what we're talking about here, Keith, excellent credit, 760 scores and higher, 80% purchase price. I just did it at the median home price. I actually did a loan amount of around $300,000 on these. 30-year fixed, you're looking at 5.625. So rates have stayed fairly flat there. The 20-year fix is going to be about an eighth lower at 5.5. And, of course, the 15-year fix still in the fours. You can get around 4.75 on a 15-year fix. The surprising rate of the week at the jumbo market, Keith, 4.9% on a 30-year fixed, which is an outstanding interest rate, especially on jumbo paper. Yes, that is about 5/8 lower than what you can get on conforming. And of course, the jumbo limit right now, 647,200. Now, I will tell everyone, so think about this. If you're buying an $850,000 home or whatever, and you're putting 20% down, and, you know, I can tell you this, for the last 20 to 25 years at least, we have always tried to structure that first mortgage loan at that conforming limit. So we would do the 647,200 as opposed to 647,201. But in today's market, you're actually better off borrowing a little bit more, getting over the jumbo and going to that 4.9% on the 30-year fix and doing a jumbo loan. The only caveat to that is the underwriting scrutiny is a little more intense in regards to the documentation you have to provide. But for 5/8 of a point on, you know, $650,000, let's just say, well worth it for sure.
Yeah, and J.D., when I'm looking at these numbers, they're starting to look a little better to me after the shock.
Yeah, well, shock and all at 6%. Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely.
So now as I look at them in the big picture and in the long term, they look pretty attractive.
Well, I spoke to our friend Joy Bailey this week, who called me. One of her clients was buying, you know, kind of in this range, or looking to buy. They did not get under contract. It was a multiple offer situation. And I talked to the client yesterday, and we were talking about rates, and I could hear the concern a little bit in there. They knew that rates had gone up, and then when I told them where we were, and I said, here's where you can kind of expect to be if you go under contract, they were like, you know, that's not terrible.
That's
you
right.
know, and they were a little more seasoned, probably, I believe if I remember right, they were Gen Xers, so they were, you know, they had been around for the 7% days, you know, a little bit, you know, and that kind of thing. So that was kind of interesting for sure. But, yeah, the rates aren't bad, you know, and overall – you know, these are pretty good. Now, you know, if you think about it from the perspective of the last 3 years, of course, they look higher, you know. But if you can get a rate in the fives on 30-year money, that's still, you know, pretty
very attractive. The big question, of course, is will they stay there?
Yes, that is. And you know, that's a great question. Of course, we expect short-term rates to go up at least another three quarters when the Fed meets. You know, I've heard, and I think they'll probably stick with the three quarters, but I've heard that there may be some discussion to go a little higher than that. They are just scared to death of inflation, and I know they're going to do everything in their power to put the brakes on it.
And they should be. It's yes. about time that they got concerned about it, because it's at the numbers are so high that they have no choice but to raise interest rates to put the brakes on the demand side.
Yeah.
Now, I'll tell you, from they should be focusing on the supply side, but our side's not in control of the Fed. So.
No, that's right. And I will say this, too. You know, when we talk about rates going up three quarters of a point or even higher, remember that that's going to have a direct effect on any home equity lines of credit that you have. So most of the time, those are going to have you're either going to get prime rate, which I believe is at 4.75 right now. If they raise it another three quarters, it'll move it to 5.5. Many times those equity lines have a kicker on top, maybe a quarter or a half point. So at this point, you're going to be borrowing money in the high fives or 6% possibly on those equity lines. That's a variable rate most of the time as well. Based on that prime, they may not be done raising rates. Now, the payments are usually set up interest only. That's typically what you're going to find on those. So on a $20,000 equity line, even at 6%, you're only going to have a $100 payment. So it's not like it's going to break the bank. But it is going to be a little bit higher rate that you're going to consider. And, of course, some credit cards as well are going to be tied to those shorter-term rates. So you'll start to see some of those credit card payments go up.
And, J.D., isn't this the time, depending on what type of mortgage you have, that it might be worthwhile to look at consolidating all that?
Yeah, absolutely.
And putting your HELOC in a fixed rate with your first mortgage.
Absolutely. You know, and we've talked about this, Keith. A lot of people have a lot more equity in their home than even they realize now. If it is going to be a longer-term proposition in terms of staying in the home that you're in, you know, at least 5 to 7 years, maybe upwards of 10 to 15 years, if you know you're going to be in that home, now's a great time to look at debt consolidations, especially if you have a larger equity line in place that has a balance of maybe $50,000 or higher, or if you have credit cards that are out there, maybe some junk debt that you've had that's accumulated over the years, those payments are going to start to go up. So many times you can improve your financial situation, and we can even do what's called a blended rate figuration for you. And what I mean by that is if your first mortgage is at 3.5%, your equity line is going to be at its next raise is going to be, you know, in the mid 5s to 6%. And then you've got some credit cards that you're paying as much as 12% or something like that. Sometimes it makes sense to go ahead and get into that 30-year fixed into the mid to upper fives on a cash out.
Yeah.
Put it all under one, simplify your life, and most of the time you're going to save on a monthly basis. And you know, with the gas prices, as we mentioned, with the groceries and everything else, prices is going up. A lot of times, you know, saving that $200 or $300 a month it can be substantial.
It can improve your life.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So. We got about 40 seconds here left before the final break of the show. You're listening to House Plans. J.D. Nelson here from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. And, of course, when we come back, we've got three or four email questions that we'd love to tackle during the last segment. Of course, you can always send us an email at askjd@countybankmortgage.com. That's askjd@countybankmortgage.com. Our website is always available, countybankmortgage.com. So feel free to reach out. And, of course, if if you're interested in any banking products or insurance or anything else, you can always go to the County Bank website, which is ecountybank.com. We'll be back here, right here on House Plans right after this message. Welcome back. This is House Plans with J.D. Nelson at County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. Final segment of the show. We got about 12 minutes left. We really appreciate you listening in. Of course, all the email questions. And I'll have a lot of people talk to just around Greenville that listen to the show. And, of course, I talked to one of our loyal listeners yesterday who had a question. He was thinking about moving to over to Anderson County and had a nice conversation with him. Said he really enjoys listening in on Saturday morning. So we really appreciate that. Keith, might be a good time. I know I haven't been out to the house here lately, but my investment property, it sounds like things are starting to move, and finally we're getting some of the backlog from some of the supply chain issues that we've had maybe kind of coming to fruition.
Yeah, the supply chain delayed us a few weeks, JD. Cabinets,
sure,
and windows. The windows had to be ordered. The cabinets had to be ordered. And, you know, these are entry-level cabinets. You would have thought they could have
yeah, sure,
delivered those in 48 hours.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, it took a couple of weeks to get the cabinets in. And the windows still haven't arrived. Now, having said that, we're going to do everything, finish up everything except the windows. That'll be the final thing. Then we'll go back, clean up, and start preparing it to put it on the market.
Well, that sounds great to me. And of course, you know, that's one of the questions that we received. You know, I think a lot of people who are doing renovations, and that seems to be a very popular project right now. People are working on their homes. You
they
know what
are.
I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, I had a one of our questions was, I'm interested in renovating my home. I have a couple questions to ask. Where is the best money spent in regards to doing a renovation? Also, should I hire an interior designer in regards to color schemes, etc.? And then the second question was, what types of financing are available for this type of project? So I'll tell you what, I'll kick it over to you first. Where is the best money spent in regards to doing a renovation? Of course, goals and objectives is always one of the most important questions.
That's where we want to start. What are you trying to accomplish?
Yeah.
Right. If you're preparing your home for sale, what you want to do is look at return on investment. And historically, very simple things. And we really wouldn't call that a renovation. We would call that updating.
Sure.
Paint, carpet, landscaping, things that you can invest a small amount of money and generally get most of it back and reduce the days on the market.
Yeah.
But if you're renovating, that's a much bigger project.
Yeah,
you're moving a wall, completely renovating, ripping out cabinets and appliances and countertops and renovate. You know, you can spend $35 on the kitchen, or you can spend $135
on the
kitchen.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Depending. So you don't want to over-improve your house. Now, if you're going to be in that home for 20 years, then make it what you want it to be.
Make it what you want. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Over time, the market will catch up. But those updating items if you're selling your home. So really, we always start with goals and objectives. How long are you going to be in that home? But like I said, the updating in preparation for selling your home can be fairly limited. Paint, carpet, deep clean, replace the appliances. You know, if you have solid surface countertops and nice cabinets, you might just want to update the appliances.
Yeah,
then you get that money back pretty quick.
Yeah, that's right. And of course, we don't know. It doesn't address this in the email exactly if they're looking to sell an update, as you say, or if it's a renovation where they're going to be there for some time. And of course, kitchens and bathrooms seems to be the most popular in terms of a renovation, someone who's staying there.
And the most expensive, JD.
And the most expensive. Yeah, that's correct.
But I would also tell you, if you want a good resource, go to house.com. They'll let you look
at
H-O-U-Z-Z.
H-O-U-Z-Z.com. Okay.
Yeah. And you can look at all the new color palettes. It'll help you have a create a vision of what you want to do in your home and get started early.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Planning is key.
That's right.
You know, and you know, I didn't, that's a very good point that you bring up, the house.com there, Keith, because, you know, one of the questions they said here, should I hire an interior designer? You know, a lot of people can just look at things and they know they are very well aware of what the hot new colors are and that sort of thing. Some people just don't have that gift. It's just not up their alley, right, so to speak. Yeah. And that's a great place to go, like you say, for information. Oh, yeah.
You can look at every type of color palette. They'll tell you what the trends are, what the current trends are, what the interior designers are putting out in the marketplace right now. And that'll get you started.
Yep. Of course, the second question was what types of financing are available for this. I'll just speak to County Bank's renovation program. It's actually a really great program that we offer. And County Bank will loan up to 80% of the as-improved value of the home. So if you're adding square footage, it will take that into account. If you're updating your kitchen and bathrooms, it will take that into account. And what happens is we'll get an appraisal done. We'll base it on the plans and specs that you have and what you're actually doing to update and renovate your home. We'll take into effect, the appraisal will take into effect any square footage changes, like I say. And then we will take that value and we will loan you up to 80% of that number. So if the as improved value is $500,000, we'll do a loan for $400,000. And then that $400,000, we're going to take out your first mortgage balance. So if you owe $300,000 on your home, we're going to pay off the $300,000, and then we're going to have $100,000 that we're able to loan you basically for the renovation project itself. Anything that would go over that $100,000, that would be on the client to come up with the additional cash or additional collateral maybe to in order to borrow more if they need more than that $100,000 to do it. And then basically it's a 1-year interest only product. So you're only going to pay interest during the term of the renovation. Let's just say that's going to be somewhere between 3 and 6 months, probably depending on the scope of the project that you're looking to take on. And then at the end, we're going to roll you out into a 15, 20, 30 year fixed mortgage or whatever you choose on that. And we'll do we're not going to double dip you on closing costs and all that. The second deal is not going to have any cost. You'll pay an attorney basically to close the transaction for you, just like any real estate transaction in the state of South Carolina. But otherwise, it's a great program. And with the home values being as high as they are right now, a lot of people have a lot of equity, more so than they even think they probably have. And so it's a great time to maybe consider doing
that. And JD, by the way, if you do it correctly, if you go through the process correctly, you can put a little more equity in your pocket.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right.
So, you know, if you do the right things and get the right return on investment, in the long run, you're probably going to have a little more equity at the end of the deal than at the beginning of the deal.
Well, and one thing I'll say this too, Keith has been absolutely invaluable for me in regards to taking on this project. Not something that you normally do, but as a friend, you stepped up and did it for me. And you've been very truthful and honest about the whole thing, which I hope I have been too. And I'm looking forward, you know, it's kind of a science experiment a little bit for me.
It is for me too.
Yeah, I want to see how, you know, I can't wait to for everything to kind of get done.
Statistically, look at it in the big picture.
Yeah, and then put it on the market and let's just see, you know, let's roll the dice and see what happens. Yeah, so it'll be very interesting to see how that sort of shakes out for sure. So another question that we had, and I think this is a kind of a very pertinent question. So my insurance premium came due this week and jumped over 20% from last year. Does this sound like a mistake? And the first question I would say is probably not. I actually spoke with Rudy Painter, the head of County Bank Insurance, and he told me that insurance premiums are starting to rise very rapidly. One of the things that we're seeing in terms of the values of homes going up so quick is that insurance premiums can't keep up. And, you know, they used to have what's called full replacement value. So it was a rider that was added. So if your home was insured for $300,000, they had full replacement costs. So if it went up to $340,000, they had that built into the premium. Well, now values are going up so quickly, they only have a 10% rider on top of that. So many times at $300,000, they'll only cover up to $330,000. And then over and above that, it's on you.
And cost to replace, JD.
Yes, that's right.
The cost of materials and labors in the building business. So today, if your home were to burn down, you would be insured. Let's say you were insured for $400,000. They could have replaced your home today it might be 30 or 40% higher.
Correct.
Than it was just 4 or 5 years ago.
And that's what's driving the insurance rates up. You know, it's the as we've talked about, everything is going up and costs are going up. It just costs more. I mean, they've got all the statistical data. I mean, they know what they need to charge, you know, based on how many homes they'll have to replace in a year and that sort of thing. And so that's why it's going up. But the important thing that I would tell our listeners is when your insurance premium comes due, you may be with a State Farm, you may be with an Allstate, you may be with an independent, Nationwide. There's a lot of different carriers that are out there. Now's a good time when your premium comes due. You get your renewal notice from whatever company that you're with. Go ahead and talk to a few different people out there. I know a lot of great people that are in the insurance business. Obviously, County Bank does a fantastic job. They'll go out and shop two or three different national companies. You know, Brad Hughes over at Allstate, he does a great job as well. There's a lot of different companies that are out there that can get you some great quotes. And it's probably a good idea just to check that out when your renewal comes due. That's the time to do it.
And most of the time, JD, you take a look at it, don't you? Most of your loan originators will run it through the county bank insurance quote and make sure that you're current. Like, I'm a State Farm guy. I've been a State, my dad was a State Farm guy. I'm a State Farm guy.
Yeah.
But I know I'm leaving a little money on the table.
Well, that's right. And you need to have a relationship with your agent.
Yeah.
Somebody that you can pick up the phone and talk to someone, because that's important as well, because there's nothing worse than not being able to reach the person that you need to talk to when you have a claim.
But I like the county bank approach because they're independent agents, are they not?
They are. That's correct.
I think they write a lot of Travelers, but there are multiple companies that
State
they look
Auto
at.
And yeah, there's a bunch of them that they'll run
and
it through.
And really, that's what you want to do. You want to look at it in a competitive environment.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So we try to do that on every single home purchase that we have, people that do the when they're purchasing a home. And then on refinance, too, every once in a while, we'll run into a client that, you know, is just quite frankly paying too much. And we recognize that when we're doing the refinance. So it's a good time to check it out then as well. So, Keith, that's a wrap. Another great show. I appreciate you coming on. You got vacation coming up, right?
I do. And next week, you're going to have a guest. Roger Nix is going to be with you next
week, right?
Yeah,
Roger Nix from Keller Williams. I've known Roger Nix a long time. Roger does a great job, and I know he's excited about coming on. So it'll be me and Roger next week. We appreciate all our listeners out there. You've been listening to House Plans. JD Nelson from County Bank Mortgage will be back next week talking real estate here on House Plans. Thanks for listening in.